And there are reasons why this is not an easy topic for me. Maybe because of my own background and my own theological persuasion. But it's not a bad topic. It's just that it's a difficult one. And when I was told, when I was asked to do this, I first said, look, no, that's not my area. Why do you think I should do it? And they said, because it's you. I said, okay, when you've got gray hair, that you can throw under the bus, and it's okay. And I said, okay, that's fine. I will do it. Now, our thing today, I was hoping that we'll have a PowerPoint, but it doesn't matter. What we are looking at here is a biblical response to decolonialism and critical race theory in Africa. I will do maybe 10, 15 minutes of introduction, and I want to allow us to talk together. I do have questions that could help us to have a conversation, a discussion. I didn't use them in the previous group because they just, you know, take it away from me and they just ran with it in a beautiful way. But I do want to just do some introduction. Firstly, it's always good to have a scripture reading because we are evangelical and the scripture that I want us to read has got nothing to do with critical race theory. Okay? It's got nothing to do with decolonization. But can I have a volunteer to read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10? And to get the context, perhaps read from verse 8. But it's verse 10 that I'm looking for. So who would love to volunteer for us? Okay, thank you, thank you. Oh, sorry, yes.
Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you. I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear those words from Paul. I always don't feel, you know, like it's a right thing to say that a Christian has a favorite verse in the Bible or a book in the Bible. But chapter 3, verse 10, it's one of my best verses. I like it. And I don't know about you, and I want to invite perhaps one or two people just to make some comments on that one. But before we do that, why don't you ask the Lord to lead us? Let me pray for us. And Father, thank you for each and every person here. Thank you, Lord, that this whole week, Lord, we've been hearing from your people, pointing us to Christ and to your word, challenging one another on how to handle the word of truth well in a godly manner. Even these workshops, Lord, there might be difficult topics to talk about, but Father, we're looking at it from that perspective, because we want to be that witness that is pointing Christ, that people to Christ. Whether we're dealing with these topics or in wherever we found ourselves, Lord. So even in our discussion here this afternoon, Lord, I pray that you will lead us, that you will be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I've got just two comments on this verse, especially verse 10. But I want to invite one or two people just to share with us what they think, especially in the light of what we are discussing, which is a biblical response to decolonialism and critical race theory. So let me start, and then hear if there's one or two other people. For me, what always come to mind when I hear these words from Paul, firstly, is that we are called to demonstrate the unsearchable riches of Christ and the multifaceted wisdom of God to principalities and powers in heavenly places. That multifaceted or manifold, sometimes it's referred to as a colorful wisdom, the colorful wisdom of God. And when I think of the colorful wisdom of God, I think of what God has done. through his church. Because beginning of that verse says, his intents, or the his purpose, was that through the church. And the church is not a denomination, it's not a building, it's you and me together. Secondly, we are God's witnesses. The church, consisting of a body of believers, who are made up of a remnant of believing Jews, and together with a body of believing Gentiles. And to think of that and look at our time here today, I think this is a wonderful illustration of the body of Christ. Now, people from different languages, backgrounds, young, old,
good looking, like me.
Good looking like him. Maybe fat ones, like me. We all are good, are God's people. And I think that's a wonderful thing that we could be seated here with all our different cultural backgrounds and languages and wherever we come from. What's your thought? What comes out? What comes up your mind when you hear these words of Paul, especially in the light of what we are discussing?
I mean, what strikes it to me is we make this task very individualistic. Or maybe as Westerners, we make this task very individualistic, that the individual Christian is the one to display the manifold wisdom by our own life transformation. But Paul makes it clear it's the church. We understand the church as an assembly of people who follow Jesus. That doesn't constrain it by race. It doesn't constrain it by geography. It doesn't constrain it by gender. It's all of us together. And I often wonder, like, are we doing justice to that with the way we live out things now? Has it become too individualistic? And then in the context of the colonization and things, is that actually what Africa has to offer the global church in a way that here community is so important that if there is a place where this should be displayed, it's in Africa because it's by nature communal, and us individualistic Westerners could learn a lot by seeing what it looks like for the church to live communally in front of everyone. Mm.
Thank you. That's very helpful. Anyone else? Okay.
No, I'm just thinking about what Kyle was saying there. It's quite intense, you know. The church is a mix of people. You know, like we don't have a colored church, a white church. It is supposed to be a reflection of these people who have been saved, responded to the gospel. And as we discuss decolonizing the church, you know, I'm thinking about it like in decolonizing the church, because I'm thinking about you know the way he phrased this, and as we reflect on that verse, when we decolonize the church, it's separating the church from something. And what specifically is that something that we want to separate the church from? Because if we choose to separate the church from the wrong thing, we could actually end up with no church.
Is it really possible to decolonize? It sounds like you're going back to before, but before people don't really remember anymore, and something has come in and permanently altered what was before. So decolonizing, it always sounds like you want to do away with everything that had been done. But personally, I just don't think it's possible. It's awareness rising, it's making people conscious of what has been done, but then isn't the way somehow forward to look at how can we now move forward in a way that is honorable and respectful towards Africa.
Mm.
I don't know, I'm just throwing this out.
Mm. Thank you.
I'm wondering perhaps if we should be talking about post-colonizing the church. I don't know.
Well, I just thought about the text. I'm not colonizing or decolonizing. But to say, I think there is something beautiful of how God works through the church in accomplishing what we cannot accomplish in the world and the systems and the structures. I think there's something beautiful in how God works through the church, whether it's white, black, colored, Indian, African, American. And God works through that expression of the body of Christ. It's something, it's a wisdom that only God can manage. 2-3 people in the same room, different backgrounds, there's already some form of human tension. And God's able to manage the workings of the gospel through the church.
It is a beautiful thing. We might not be perfect Christians or perfect human beings in the world, but we're sitting here this week. I think we're getting along together. Can you imagine if it were those many years ago where I'm told that Shaka Zulu will look at different people and say, you're just busy finishing up oxygen here. You know, go. But we are here together. These might be difficult topics to think about and to talk about, but we are doing this as Christians. And I think that's my starting point as we begin our conversation here. But secondly, I do want to say that although I've got some notes here, I'm not intending to spend 50% of my time telling you what is the biblical response. I'm not going to be doing that. I want us to talk together. But I prepared some notes just to help us, because when I was asked to do this, I ran around and say, I've heard about critical race theory. What is this? And I tried to engage Christians. And those Christians that I tried to reach out and engage were, sorry to my brothers and sisters who might be from America, they were from America because I hear this expression from that angle. Mainly from America. And we know that when George Floyd died, beginning of a pandemic, it was not just only in America. It was all over the world, you know, spots everywhere. And it became a big thing. And I think that's the time when I started to hear more and more about critical race theory. It didn't start, then. It was, you know, started, I think, in fact, the phrase itself was formally used, I think they say 1989. So it's not a new one. But even in 1989, they say it's been around for a long, long time. We'll come back to that. Let us talk a little bit about, just doing a little bit of introduction. I have a friend. She is in Germany. She is a scholar there as well. We studied together. In Cape Town, and last week she's been updating me, and please forgive me there, you know what's happening in Germany once a year. The big conference seems to be having, there were about 60,000 people who attended this annual thing, which took over a few days. But one of those days, a Zulu bishop from a Lutheran church in KwaZulu-Natal was the speaker. I haven't looked at the paper that he delivered, because Vera Pabst sent me this thing that I want to read to you. I want to read the exact message that Vera Pabst sent to me after that bishop had spoken. You might not agree with it. It's okay. Or perhaps you might say, oh, okay, this is what we're trying to deal with here. Vera Pabst says to me, in a discussion on decolonizing, the theme for last week, I cannot read Germany, something like Kirch und koloniale Drengmuster. Mr. Google did help me. Because I look at that, it's church and colonial thought patterns. Yeah. So that was their theme last week. So here's what Vera Pop says. In a discussion on decolonizing Christianity with the bishop of Lutheran Church, he just used an interesting idea to describe decolonization. He said, don't eat the bread with the plastic. And don't throw away the bread because of the plastic.
Mm.
And once you send me there, say, Vera, can I use that? Because this is what I think we're trying to do. What is bread? Yeah. I believe that the bread is the gospel. And according to that, he says, well, we don't throw away the bread. The bread is important. So if we see plastic and say, I don't like the plastic, I'm not going to chuck away the bread. But I'm also not going to eat the bread with plastic. So, and his name is Nkosi Natim Sawengosi. I do not know him. I've never met him. Definition of terms to help us. And these are not necessarily from a theological or Christian point of view. These are just terms. I got these from the internet or from the dictionaries. Firstly, colonialism and decolonization. The dictionary says this about colonialism. The policy or practice of acquiring full or partial political control over another country, occupying it with settlers and exploiting it economically. The state apparatus that was dominant under colonialism. That's how this dictionary Oxford described colonization. They went further when I looked at decolonization, and they give me 2 points, which I want to read, but I think it's the second point that is close to what we're trying to do here. The first point in defining what is decolonization, they say it's the action or process of a state withdrawing from a former colony, leaving it independent. That's number one. And number two, it's the process of freeing an institution or sphere of activity, etc., from cultural or social effects of colonization. That's what they say about decolonization. And I look at two African scholars. One is Kenyan. He's been quoted several times here in this conference. And another one is from Nigeria. John Beatty says, the image that Africans received and to a great extent still hold of Christianity is much colored by colonial rule and all that was involved in it. We are still too close to that period to dissociate one from the other. That's John Beatty. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly. Iwe?
Yeah.
Okay. Iwe has described colonialism as a phase in the evolution of Africa characterized by intense geographical explorations, the slave trade, the scramble for Africa, the territorial ambitions and pretensions of the Western nations, the imposition of alien rule and institutions, the blending of Western forms of Christianity, acculturation, racialism, and exploitation. So that's how I'm not necessarily saying, you know, I fully agree with it, but I think it's helpful to understand what other people are thinking and saying about either colonization or decolonization, because we cannot come with a biblical response to it if we do not know in the first place. What is it? What about critical race theory? So I made a mistake. I'm glad that I'm not showing this on a on a PowerPoint. See, serious mistake here, and a misspelling of a word. And yeah, I contract. There's a lot written. And even if you go to YouTube, you know, there's a 1-hour video of Christians debating critical race theory. There's so many people responding to critical race theory. And I only chose two Christians who've been interviewed in a radio about critical race theory. And let me share what have they said. Well, the first one is D.A. Horton, who directs the Intercultural Studies program at California Baptist University and serves as an associate teaching pastor at the Grove Community Church in Riverside, California. His 2019 book, Intentional, presents a kingdom view.